Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Take 12 if you want to run uncut. Yeah. Unapologetic from the jump. Yeah. And no politics in this club. Just dirt from the streets and the creeks in the mud. Take 12. Best podcast for the Seahawks. Number one sports talk. Yeah, we got it online. Take 12. Every episode, 12 hot takes. And we repping for Seattle, my place. Take 12.
Oh, it's the Take 12 podcast. Welcome to the show. I am Brett. He is Lofa. And joining us on today's episode is Northwest legend, Damon Hewer. Husky legend. Come on, where's the... Oh, I was going to apply, but I have an applause button. There it is. Welcome to the show, Damon.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, we got to add... Super Bowl champion to that too, right?
Yeah, I held a nice clipboard for those two big games, but yeah, I was there.
Hey, Super Bowl champion. Put some respect on his name.
There you go. Of course, Lofa and I are coming to you guys from the Wiener Schnitzel Digital Studios, two locations up in Western Washington, Everett and Fife. Go on in, mention the Take 12 podcast, get a free small beverage with any other purchase at either of the Wiener Schnitzel locations. Go and see Dom. Go and see the family up there. Good people serving great food. Do something different for lunch. Also, Katie.
No.
Tamale season.
Tamale season.
It is tamale season, Lofa, at Wiener Schnitzel. They do it every year around the holidays. They're delicious, especially with their chili sauce. So go up there, mention Take 12, and check them out. Guys... enough about the sponsors. Enough about our fantasy team. Let's talk about the real team on the field. The Seahawks, well, they took on the Vegas Raiders, and it went into overtime. It was a shootout, as Lofa and I predicted. Unfortunately, the Seahawks end up, of course, on the losing side of this one. Lofa, were you in the building? What were your thoughts on this one?
No, I was not. I was at my couch. I somewhat feel responsible for not cheering them on from the stadium. Uh-huh. But what a game. It was exciting. Mm-hmm. Not the result we wanted, but man, offense looked good.
Yeah.
And I think I can leave it there because I don't know if I want to talk about the defense.
Yeah, man. I mean, it ends up 40-34, a high scoring affair, but yeah, not much defense. But the offense did look good. I mean, Damon, your thoughts on the game?
Yeah, anytime you score, 35 plus points or whatnot, I mean, you expect to win in the National Football League, especially mm-hmm. at home. Mm-hmm. But, this game is set up today for these offenses to have success. It really is. A lot of the rules, and that's what the fans want to see. Sorry, Lofa. I know that good old-fashioned defensive 10-7 ball game, they just don't exist anymore.
I wait till playoffs till I see good defense.
Yeah, a lot of times you're right. When it's cold and maybe the weather plays a part of it, and no one, wants to tackle anybody and all that good stuff. But yeah, it's an offensive game, and it's a college level too. You saw the Apple Cup. Mm-hmm. If any of you stayed up late Saturday night, or your USC Trojans.
I mean,
that's a fun brand of football to watch. I don't know where the defenses have gone, but again, I like the rules and just. The athletes, the kids are playing 7-on-7 football in fifth grade now and throwing the rock. And It's just a different game. So yeah. Expect points. It's fun, but it's never fun when you come up on the losing end like the Seahawks did yesterday.
A lot of flag football also, like my son and his little buddies and stuff. I mean, a lot more flag football maybe being played at younger ages too. Not that it wasn't being played back in the day, but just maybe more. I have to though say, as a fan, and I, you know, as the voice of the fan on the show here, I love defense. I love big hits. I love contested deep balls and guys fighting down the field and stuff. And I what I hate is every time there is a deep ball or a long throw, I'm looking for a flag or, oh, maybe that was PI or not PI or this or that. I feel like pass interference was almost never called way back in the day, or at least it was one of those things that could be called on every play. It had to be sort of egregious. Now it's like even the most subtle tug, and it leads to more scoring. But I'm saying for me as a fan, it's like, I don't know, sometimes a good defensive slugfest is fun, because then whoever does score, I mean, it's such a big deal and everything. And so I like that each game can have its own storyline. I don't want these track meets every single game, but that's what we had in this one. Our defense...
Yeah, and even like shoulder throws. I mean, there's times I think the offense, like, oh, it's 3rd and 18.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna underthrow it. I'm gonna try to get that call.
Right.
You know.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
I mean, that pass interference penalty is called so often, and you know, at least in college, a lot of times, you know, it's just a 15-yard penalty unless you're in the red zone or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Where in the NFL, it's spot of the foul.
Spot where, foul.
You know, it could be a 40 or 50 yard penalty. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think they need to get that changed.
Well, and sometimes they go our way. Like, we had one in the game with Tyler Lockett that was a holding one, but pretty light on that one. I saw one in the Bucs game. Now, there's some vets that are, you know, and you got to take your hat off to him. But like, I saw Mike Evans, I saw him kind of pull the DB in and then throw his arms in the air and, oh, it was on third down and he knows how to get that flag. And I mean, that's a savvy vet move, but it's just not really in the spirit of, you know, the game. And I don't know, whatever. Anyway, we could debate that all day. And I know Lofa was about to. I saw the look on his face. Let's stick with the game here. Offense looked good, albeit for another untimely fumble. I mean, ugh, right? Like we're driving, the game is what it was at that point, but he puts it on the deck again. We lose it, kind of similar to the Bucs game. But we still recovered from there. We still took the lead and all that, but the defense, Lofa. I mean, I think we got to talk about the defense. They couldn't get the stops when they needed to. They could not stop the running game at all. Tackling sometimes. I mean, Josh Jacobs is a beast, but I mean, come on.
Well, I'll start with the praise. So before we leave the offense, I mean, Gino, man, damn, you gotta like what you're seeing out of him.
I was gonna go to him next. All right.
No, you gotta start with the good, right?
All right,
you gotta
fine.
At least start on a positive note.
Okay.
Silver linings, man.
Okay.
So 328, 2 touchdowns, the 1 interception. I don't fault him for. I don't know why Tyler stopped running on that one, and even more concerning was like, okay, you know, whatever happened, but go make the tackle now. And, you know, he just kind of stood there, which, you know, kind of had me confused. I think everybody was confused. But, you know, Walker with some 2 tough runs, not the yards you expect out of him. Only 14 carries. He looked good, though, strong. That one, I mean, it was reminiscent of beast mode, man. And then the O-line getting in there and pushing.
Oh, man.
And, like, just from the 5-yard line.
From the
across.
5, yeah, at least, yeah.
Oh, my God. But then the wherewithal with him to just start – you know, backpedaling into the end zone.
Yeah.
Those guys, their legs just go dead, right? And he wanted to score, and he scored there. So 2 touchdowns on the day for him. Travis Homer, shout out to him.
Mm.
Came in for a series, and it was the Travis Homer series. And, you know, the touchdown, and then just, you know, all the effort things that he was doing, man, it's been showing. So it's good to see him healthy and working into the offense. Now,
but...
if you want to get to the defense – or lack thereof. I mean, I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. And in the second quarter, they did a flashback to Bo Jackson's 220 yards rushing. And what did Josh Jacobs end with? Like 228 or something like that.
Mm.
And it was just it was the Josh Jacobs show.
Yeah.
You know, we made some turnovers. We're huge. Did set us up with short field, you know, on the first play of the game. Great job by Diggs. Everybody's been wondering where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what happens when you throw his way. And that's why I don't think he's really been targeted much. The only bad play he had, that third and five, right? And he's got the running back out of the backfield. He takes away the cushion, and then now you just got a man turn and look and lean into him so you can, you know, make a play on that ball. But Derek Carr had all day. He had all day long. Like,
yeah.
even on the corner route,
yeah.
Touchdown to Moreau. It was just pressure wasn't there. And then we matched up a lot, you know, in terms of going nickel package when they were in 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, you know, through receivers. And they ran the ball at will when we did that. And so I thought we were just going to make an adjustment. Like, hey, we'll go base. And then you got to throw it out of here, you know, check to a throw because we got the box loaded. But we really – the nickel back was not a factor in the run game. And that's what, you know, they just 5 yards, 7 yards, 20 yards. Jacobs on that touchdown run, that was a phenomenal effort fighting off Al Woods. Can't say enough about that guy. He's had five games of over 150, and I think he'd have more if McDaniels actually wanted to run the ball.
Yeah, man. Well, we talked about it before the game. Like, they have weapons, and Jacobs is a beast, and he did what he does. I mean, he was what scared us the most going into the game, and he's what got us. And I think, you know, from a fan perspective, too, it's like our run defense has been so good for so long. That is just surprising. Anytime anyone gets one big run, you're like, oh, wow, okay, well, that probably won't happen again. It's weird to see people just get consistent, you know, consistently gain good yards and have these good runs. Damon, I mean, what happened, man? I know you're an offensive guy, but I mean, you know, our offense, yeah. Like, I mean, you could talk about Geno, I guess, but also just the defense and sort of their struggles in the last few weeks. Because that was something they were, you know, they had improved and were doing so good at.
Right. I mean, so many times, right, you don't see a lot of home run
right.
gashes in the run game in the NFL because the safeties are so good at angles and usually there is someone back there, but yeah, it was kind of surprising to just see those big gash plays. You know, that you don't see that in the NFL, and mm-hmm. that's something they'll get corrected. But yeah, I mean, you just look at that box score, and you know, over 200 yards rushing for the Raiders, 65 for the Seahawks. That's not the brand of football that Pete Carroll wants to play. And usually when you see those kind of numbers, you know, they lose. So, you know, I am such a huge fan of Pete Carroll. I didn't like him for years as the Trojan coach, of course. but what he's done here in Seattle all these years, it's just amazing. And you know, forever, you know, this was just a Husky football town, and he's changed that. And the both of them now are, you know, having such great seasons. And obviously, this year there were so many question marks, and now obviously a couple losses, everyone's going to question him again. Mm-hmm. But give this guy credit where it's due. Just an unbelievable leader. Him and John Schneider, what they've done for this franchise in this town. It's fun to see, but yesterday was not the brand of football that he wants to play and has been his, you know, formula for success in this league for all these years.
Totally. Well, the good thing about a game like yesterday might be that it's pretty obvious what needs to be fixed, I think, a little bit. Even from, like, us just watching on our couches, it's like, okay, guys, tackling, right? Run defense. just stop somebody because the offense can score, right? I mean, yeah, untimely fumble, the pick that Lofa talked about, but they put up. I mean, Lofa, like, and we're starting to predict that they're going to put up points. That's the other thing. It's like, it's not just like a fluke or a surprise that they're putting up a lot of points or a big game. Like, we're actually expecting it now.
Can score with anybody.
Yeah.
And to Dan's point, I mean, that trade that John made was looking pretty sweet right about now.
Yeah.
with the every loss, and they lost again.
You're talking about the Denver. Broncos? Are you talking about the Broncos right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to find some silver lining.
I was going to talk about the refs before I started talking about Russ and the Broncos, but all right, fine.
What do you want to say about the refs? You always have something to say. I hate refs more than anybody.
Listen, and I know. I'm sure. And I don't know how Damon, how are you with refs?
I mean, look, it's hard to be an official. I mean,
it is.
You have any friends that do it? Let's just ask that question, right?
Right.
And the Pac-12 officiating is the worst, you know, I've ever seen.
Yeah. Every year.
But go to the high school level. You know, I mean, it's hard to find officials.
Mm.
You know, And, you know, I credit those people for doing it, you know, especially they worked their way all the way up to the National Football League. I don't know if it's a full-time job. There was talk about them having it as a full-time
job. I don't think it is. It should be, though.
It's still not yet.
Yeah. It should be. I mean, there's so much at stake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and they're not always going to get it right, but you expect at the highest level of the game, you know, for the most part, they're going to get it right, especially with instant replay.
That's what I was going to say. The ones that get me are the ones that they review, and then you're still like, just like, come on, man. Like the DK catch on the sideline. I mean, look, bro, come on. You got to go frame by frame on some of these. And then you got the Josh Jacobs fumble, which, okay, maybe can't be reviewed or whatever because whistles or forward progress. I mean,
progress stop. That was bullshit. That was a hell of a play.
A fumble.
Kobe Bryant.
That is a fumble all day long. And so it's just, you know, a couple things. But like we said, the Tyler Lockett holding, though, that's one that you do get. So, look, everybody can complain about officials all the time. I think what annoys me as just an NFL fan is that the review process is supposed to help clean some of this stuff up. And I feel like most of the times there's at least one or two reviews in every game I watch that leaves me a little more confused after the review than before it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they got the interception overturned that we got a field goal out of, right? Which I was saying it from my couch when it happened.
That's true.
We bobbled that.
That's true.
And when he bobbled it, just like they were saying DK did, then you had to bring that back, and they did. I didn't think they were going to reverse that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird process. Whatever. Let me talk about a sponsor real quick. Let me cheer ourselves up by talking about one of our beautiful and wonderful sponsors. Producer Katie, did we have a winner from the Score Prediction Challenge over the weekend? We do the Score Prediction Challenge on the social medias, everybody. You guys can predict the score of every single Seahawks game. And if you nail it, you get a $50 gift card from our sponsor, Simply Seattle. Go to shop.simplyseattle.com for all your team apparel needs and stuff. Ooh,
you see the drip?
Yeah, check out that hoodie Lofa's wearing from Simply Seattle. If you get close, you get a $25 gift card. What do we got, Katie?
Dr. Brandon Bridgman.
Okay.
Bridge. What was his...
Do you know this guy, Lofa?
I do. It's my chiropractor. Nice.
Oh.
I promise it's not an inside job.
Okay, all right.
What?
What was the score?
He got 34 from the Seahawks.
Wow.
So that was the most important.
And then what was the other score, though?
I think it was 20.
What? 34, 20? That's not even close.
I thought I had 34-27. I mean, I know I can't win it, but... Before overtime, I had it right. I would have nailed the first prediction.
34-20, you guys think is close? That's who you're giving the winner to?
I mean, I think we got to prioritize the Seahawks score.
We're gonna throw the red flag.
I don't know. If you're upset about this one, you guys can email intern Justin, the GM of our fantasy team, and producer Katie at SeahawksPod@gmail.com. People are going to be emailing, I predicted this. I was way closer. I don't know. I don't know, man. Are you getting free back work out of this? This is a little sus.
Absolutely not.
I don't know.
Brandon charges full price.
Also, speaking of contests on the show, though, shout out to everybody who entered the EpicSeats.com contest. We give out two tickets to every Seahawk game, home or away, courtesy of our friends at EpicSeats.com. And this weekend, we got like over 300 people trying to get into the contest and emailing us and everything. So shout out to all you guys for entering. Shout out to those of you who won the tickets. And be sure to enter next week is my point. Because it's getting competitive over there. And shout out to EpicSeats.com for sponsoring that and supplying us with the tickets. Guys, look, Seahawks, they got to turn it around. They got to pick it up. I think we all kind of saw what went down at the game, and they got to make it better. I have two just absolute legends of the game on the show right now, and not just legends of the pros, but legends in college and at huge college programs respectively. And both of you guys' colleges played huge games, and I'm a big fan of one of them. So I definitely want to talk about some Apple Cup with Damon Heward, but also Lofa. I mean, the shillelagh is back down in Southern California. So who wants to go first and talk about their colleges and all that kind of stuff?
I'll let the guests go first.
All right. Damon, let's talk some Apple Cup. We slaughtered those kooks. Huh?
Yeah, payback for last year. That was rough at Husky Stadium. So a year later, the cup is back where it belongs.
That's right.
It was a tough game out the gate. The Cougars had some momentum, especially in that first half.
They did.
But, you know, the strength of our offensive line. I love our aggressive play calling in nature with Ryan Grubb. And Michael Penix, you can't say enough about him. This kid just stands in the pocket and delivers. And when he has to move around, he does. But it's a really dynamic offense, you know, really unique in that their play action stuff they do out of the shotgun. It's really different. And they move and they shift. And, you know, they do the kind of do this gopher ball thing where they'll, you know, line up and then they look to the sideline. And Grubb is so good at diagnosing the defense and then calling a play. You know, you see that a lot at the college level, but not always executed well. And certainly some defenses will play the cat and mouse and change it up. But this offense has delivered all year. They're number one in the nation in passing offense, throwing for almost 400 yards a game.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, if it wasn't for a blunder down in the desert, you know, they would be right up there in the conversation with USC and the college football playoffs.
Absolutely.
So, just a magical year for Kalen DeBoer in his first season, 10 wins already.
Yeah.
And if local Trojans get it done on Friday night, like I expect them to do with my brother on that staff especially, the Dogs are going to be in Pasadena. We're going to have two New Year's Six teams as SCs in the college football playoff, probably playing the Georgia Bulldogs. So, a lot on the line here Friday, not just for your Trojans, but for the Dogs, too.
Oh, man. So get it done. First of all, I'm ready to run through a wall after that.
I am too.
So pumped up. But before we get to Lofa's Trojans, hold on. I'm giving you the Heisman for a second, because I just want to stick on Mike Penix Jr. real quick, because, I mean, first of all, I've watched every game, but it's still and as a fan of lefties, I know, but it still looks a little strange. But man, is he accurate, and the strength, and this kid, he's incredible. You know, I don't even want to call him a kid. He's awesome. I hope he comes back next year, but they're talking about him being just such a high draft pick and everything. And I mean,
I know.
I'm just saying, as a fan, I, you know, wishful thinking, but I mean, Damon, like, you're a Washington quarterback yourself. I mean, what is it with Washington and these quarterbacks they get? And they're just, Penix in particular, he's just so fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, he kind of came here. I think we were expecting this guy to run around, you know, and make plays with his feet like Jake Locker and Marcus Tuiasosopo. But the reality is, you know, he's been a kid who sits in the pocket. And, you know, he hasn't scrambled a whole lot at all this year other than just to buy some time and make some throws. But I, too, have been blown away by his accuracy, his arm strength, his decision-making. And, you know, he's put it all together this year on tape, you know, as a fifth-year junior. He had some highs in Indiana, just unfortunately couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah, just had injuries,
and,
yeah.
This year now has done it for 12 consecutive games and has put some really good film out there, should he decide to go pro. But who knows, right? Yeah. I mean, he's got to be loving the moment right now. He's the toast of the town. Heck, he might even find his way sitting next to Caleb Williams back in New York for the Heisman Trophy talks. And we'll see. But an amazing talent, and it's certainly been fun to have him on Montlake this season.
Yeah. I mean, if they would have – that game in the desert, if they would have got that one, I think he most definitely would be there. But like you said, we kind of become USC Trojan fans, at least for the near future here a little bit, because Lofa's Trojans – get to have a rematch against the mighty Utes in the championship game. How you feeling, Lofa, after that Notre Dame game? I know you hate Rudy and Notre Dame.
He was offsides. that's my favorite game day sign whenever we play. Notre Dame.
Rudy was offsides.
Someone's old enough, and Rudy was offsides. Yeah, hated that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they look great, man. I really think Caleb's separated from the pack in turn. I don't know who else you would consider for the Heisman right now. And, you know, I believe he's going to play great this game. We did lose to these guys earlier in the season, our only blemish on the record. And but it's going to be a neutral site, so it's hard to play in Utah. And so not playing there, I think, gives us the edge this time.
Yeah.
And I just hope we don't let the tight end go for 300 yards again. Like, if we have to double him, double him. But Cam Rising was just throwing it to him every play. And so, but yeah, the victory bell is back where it belongs. The jeweled shillelagh is back where it belongs.
What the heck is a jeweled shillelagh anyway? Do you even know?
It looks like a stick with some stones in it, man. I don't know. Whatever. All I know is the three years that we played them, we beat them. Not just by, well, I mean, it would be an average, but by 31 points exactly every time. And so I thought that was pretty, because someone posted a picture of the jeweled shillelagh and they had 02, 03, and 04 and our scores on there. I was like, oh, that's exactly 31 points.
Wow.
That's cool.
Look at that. Yeah. Quick math by number 51.
Just an ass kicking.
I'll say, look, I'm no fan of USC or anything like that, but I will say, seeing the Coliseum rocking that night game, you know, the way that it was and all of that, I mean, it really, and knowing you the way that I do now, of course, like, it really brought back those feelings of, like, your teams and the Pete Carroll era there and all that kind of stuff. And I think college football is better when USC is in that kind of mode. So, you know, we'll let you have it.
Hopefully the Pac finally gets representation, you know, like Washington was the last time we were in the playoffs, right? Yeah. Like 5 years ago, 6 years. Yeah.
I'd love to ask Lofa a question here.
Sure. Yeah.
You said the Pac, respect. Here we have, I think, six teams right now in the top 17. And in a couple year and a half, your USC Trojans are going to be playing in the Big Ten Conference. What's your take on that?
At first, I was old man bitter, just like, why? I want the traditional matchups, right? Yeah. But I understand, and what my hope was, and it looks like it's coming true, is these super conferences are going to provide a 12-team playoff. And I've always said four teams is not enough. There's always a team at five who could be like a Boise or a TCU back in the day, undefeated and left out. So by moving to 12, if you're 13, you got – three, maybe even four losses. I don't want to hear anything from you. You're out. Get out of here. Go home. You know, go play in a bowl game or whatever. But we're done talking to you. So I'm excited about that, to get, you know, and even if the game, you know, you shorten to just playing conference games, 10 games, and then the best 12 teams go in. Every other, you know, from Division III, II, and 1AA, they all have playoffs, and it always killed me because I came from Maine, and we made the playoffs. And you know, in the NFL, there's nothing like playoff football. Right. And so, you know, getting to see those matchups and then, you know, who can bounce back week after week, because, look, when I look back at my teams at SC, you know, and I know people are going to be horrified when me saying this, you give us a month to prepare, we're going to beat the hell out of anybody. But – we get a week to prepare, and now you got to come back. It's really going to be the best team that wins, because, you know, you might win that first matchup as a smaller seed, or, you know, but when you get to the end, it is just the best teams and everybody that's.
But couldn't,
you know, prepared,
they? But, yeah, but couldn't UCLA and USC do all of that, and we could have the 12 team playoff and all that from the Pac-12? They couldn't just stay in the Pac-12. And
my only argument would be, like, I think it'd be a whole hell of a lot easier for USC going forward to get to that final 12, staying in the Pac-12,
that's true.
Having to play Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, and those are going to be, you know, great games, and college football is going to love it and all, but that the travel associated with all of that, you know, sometimes be careful what you wish for.
No, for sure. But then we would have to go to 16, and who are we going to take to bring over, you know, the 12? You know,
yeah, you'd have to start looking at, like, well, you can look at like a Boise or I don't know.
A Boise.
Nevada.
A
Boise. San Diego State.
Yeah. Well, so, So, I mean, and I think, you know, to your point, I think they'll realign years later. Like, they'll
have probably. You're right. You probably have two super conferences at the end of the day at some point.
Yeah.
But, but it's just going to be interesting, and certainly.
Oh, that travel.
Washington.
But won't it be fun, Damon, to see our Huskies in the Rose Bowl this year? Isn't that going to be awesome? You're going to come down for that?
It's funny. You know, I've had this role at UW for over a decade now, and no doubt it was awesome going to the college football playoff and playing Alabama in the Peach Bowl and that opportunity. But, you know, it was really hard for our fans to get to Atlanta and then say, hey, you win that game, then Bill. How are we going to get to the champ? Do we save our money to go to the Peach Bowl? Or if we win that, do we save it to the national championship game? Which actually was in Tampa that year.
Oh, wow.
You know, for a lot of Husky fans and traditionalists, you know, it really is about the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And that, and that Pac-12 Big Ten matchup that we all grew up watching, and that sun setting, you know, over the mountains. And, you know, if those Trojans get it done on Friday night, I can't tell you how fired up Husky Nation is going to be. No doubt there's a disappointment. You want to get to that CFP and yeah. play the Mighty Bulldogs or the Crimson Tide or all that good stuff. But there's something about that Rose Bowl. There's a reason they call it the granddaddy of them all.
Of them all.
And I can tell you that if the Dogs get there, playing a one-loss Ohio State team or something, I mean, that's something that people will remember, talk about, and cherish forever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I got to play in one against Michigan when we got left out of the national, the BCS championship against Oklahoma, LSU. And I got to play Michigan. And just coming out of the tunnel, I mean, like you're saying, you know, the sun and the environment and everything. And then you look over and you see those stripes on the helmet that you grew up, like watching them, you know, when they were so good. So it was special. I'll never forget it. So you're right about that, Dan.
Oh, yeah. Those were my first memories of watching Husky football was Huskies, Michigan, a couple years in a row, Rose Bowl. Oh, yeah. 90s. Oof. Ah! Ready to run out of another tunnel.
They're back.
We're all back. Well, you guys, last thing I have to do here. Oh, wait. If you guys are watching any bowl games out there or checking out college football or pro football and you want to do any wagering on any of that, make sure you check out our sponsor, betonline.ag. Basketball is also back. The NHL is going strong. Yeah, Damon, turn your camera off.
We can do a lot of things, but we can't be gambling.
We can do this read after.
We'll put it in there later. Go to that website you're not supposed to go to and try to make credits.
I got a question.
Don't worry, Damon. I don't have any eligibility left anyway. Go ahead. Go ahead, Lopa.
Damn, what was it, 2006 when we played you guys, the Chiefs?
Yeah. And
do you remember 3rd and 10 going to Tony G? So it was quarters coverage. I know it's going to Tony G. I'm like, yes, here we go. He runs a 10-yard out. I undercut it, and it goes just off my fingertips, and Tony catches it one-handed. And I was like, God, he's too good. And that, and I think that pretty much that prolonged the drive. And I think you guys scored and you guys won that game. The only other play I remember that, and I wonder if you remember this, Jared Allen picked one off and he went up the sideline. And Deion Branch made probably the best defensive play I've ever seen. He ran him down, ripped the ball out, and got his toes in. And we had a chance to go back and tie the game. We didn't, I think we lost 35-28. It was a shootout. But that pass still haunts me, Dan. It was a beautiful pass.
He ripped it, huh?
You were right though. If it was 3rd and 10, I was looking for number 88. I mean, that dude was gonna catch a ball or nobody. Best tight end in NFL history for sure. Another Pac-12 guy, great teammate. But yeah, that was an awesome game. If I do remember because I'm good friends with Matt Hasselbeck. He was not able to play. He was hurt.
Yeah, son
played. Danica Wallace played in that game, and he played great. Like you said, it was a shootout at Arrowhead. That certainly for me was a memorable game. You probably don't know this, but I actually worked for Paul Allen. My first year out of college, I got cut by the Bengals. I came home. I thought my football career was over. I literally knocked on Paul Allen's door, and he owned this company called Vulcan Northwest. And at the time, the Seahawks were going to leave town. This was 1996.
Yeah. Right.
Wow. And kind of all the city officials came to Paul Allen. They're like, hey, dude, save our team, buy the team. He's like, well, I'll maybe buy the team. Give me a one-year purchase option to figure out if I can get a new stadium deal done. And all this was going on. I kept reading about it in the paper, and potentially the Husky Stadium was going to be this one site the Seahawks and the Huskies would share. And literally, I got a job. I was out speaking to every Chamber of Commerce and Rotary Club about the economic impact if the Seahawks left town. But I got to know Paul Allen, that whole crew, and I worked for him for literally that whole offseason. And I got a call from the Dolphins and fooled them for the next 12 years. But it was really special for me to get to start against the Seahawks, Paul Allen, all you guys who I knew growing up here.
Yeah.
And then to come out with the win. I actually pulled my groin in practice that week and wasn't sure if I was going to be able to go. But
oh, wow.
Modern medicine was a good thing. It was a great day for the Chiefs, but also and really cool for Paul Allen, Mike Flood, a lot of those guys, Burt Cole, reaching out to me and congratulating me and all that neat stuff. And certainly a game that I hold that game ball, you know, I cherish it. It was a special.
You earned that game ball, my man.
The last thing I have to do here before we get you out of here, Damon, and wrap up the show, Lofa, I got my list of random questions. You want to put 60 seconds on the clock and really get to know Damon here?
This is definitely going to take more than 60 seconds.
Look,
get ready, Dame.
I even got my intense music. Once again, this this segment is brought to you by that website that we're not talking about.
Oh, you can talk about it.
I'm just kidding. Damon, heads or tails?
Heads.
Why your jersey number? Let's go with your UW number. Why number 7?
I was a huge John Elway fan growing up. Just love number 7. Lucky 7.
Almost was a Seahawk, by the way, John Elway. That draft story? Crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what could have been? Okay, if called upon, would you punt or punt return?
Definitely punt.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to go punt return.
Dude, I've been hit a few times by guys like you. That's the last thing I'd want to do again.
What was your halftime go-to snack? Either at the pro level, college level, whatever.
Oh, God. A Gatorade bar. Lame. I wish I could say I'd smoke a cigarette like Kenny Stapler. I wish I was some badass like that, but no, I was pretty lame.
Well, you could say it.
I would have smoked the Black and Mild.
There you go.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how badly do you want to see the Seahawks wear those throwback silver helmet uniforms? And by the way, I think there's news on that from the team within like the last week. But
there is.
Do you like those unis?
Sure, I'll stick with my 7. I had the posters of Steve Largent and Jim Zorn up in my room.
All right, nice. Yeah, hell yeah. Lofa, I don't know if you saw this, but the announcement from the team is they will wear those throwbacks next year.
Next year. No, I
saw it.
Thanks
to the Take 12 podcast.
I was going to say, I don't want to say that we should take credit for that, but
you could take credit. You've been talking about this for 3 years, buddy.
We did whip the fans into a frenzy in Munich about that, and there were quite a few Seahawks officials standing around a couple weeks ago. Anyway, you're welcome. okay, Damon, where were you during the Beast Quake?
What was the year? Remind me.
2010.
2010.
Technically, it was January of 2011. Actually.
January 2010. I was here in Bellevue, and my house shook.
Yeah, it did.
That was a great run. Obviously, one of the greatest plays in Seahawk history. I was just out of football. 2009 was kind of my last training camp. Certainly as a kid growing up, and obviously I played all these places, but you know, I'll always be a Seahawks fan, you know, growing up in this town. That was a really cool moment in Seahawk history for sure.
Cool, man. Last question. Speaking of cool moments, cool moment for us having you on the show. So thanks for being here. And my last question for you is just what is your favorite play or moment? And usually I say as a Seahawk because we have Seahawk guests, but I'll say as a Husky.
Yeah, that's pretty easy. My junior year, we went down to the University of Miami and played in the Orange Bowl against the Miami Hurricanes, who had a 58-game home winning streak.
Mm-hmm.
Warren Sapp, Ray Lewis, The Rock, all these just awesome.
The Rock! That's right, The Rock is on that team.
And, you know, somehow, some way, we were down, I think, 14-3 at halftime, and we came out, we scored like 3 touchdowns in a matter of 3 or 4 minutes in that third quarter. And we just ran them out of the gym. And to beat the mighty Hurricanes, who hadn't lost at home in 10 years.
At home, yeah.
At home, down there. I'd never been east of the Rocky Mountains, honestly, growing up a West Coast kid. And to go down there and do that, you know, certainly the highlight of my college career. It was a special, special win. And we were been on probation for a couple years after that. You know, and so it kind of brought us back on the stage and on the map of college football. It was awesome. Oh, yeah.
That's why the Dolphins went and got you.
You never know.
You never know.
Right?
Yeah.
You never know.
Oh, man. Well, thanks for being here, dude. Like I said, like, really just appreciate it. Thanks to everybody out there for listening to the Take 12 podcast. We will be back later in the week to preview this upcoming matchup for your Seahawks this weekend. But for now, we're out of here. Lofa, anything else?
Ladies and gentlemen, Dame Heward, the man that taught Tom Brady everything.
Damon, so for real, I mean, thanks for being here, man. I got to come back because I got a million and a half more questions for you. We break it down at the end of every episode. So hands up
what
in
do
the middle.
QBs break it down.
Just like in practice.
What do QBs break it down to?
Oh, man. Go deep or go home.
Perfect.
Lead us through it then.
Go deep or go home.
One, go two, deep. Three. Go deep or go,
go deep
home.
Or go home. I like that one.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.